This is the Upper East Side, the saloon capital of the world. Big time. Are you ready for the big time, young Mr. Flanagan?
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of East to West with Nick and Rob. My name is Rob.
And my name is Nick. Hey, Rob, are you ready for the big time, young Mr. Bookie?
Yeah.
Coughlin's Law, baby. Let's make cocktails.
I can't wait for the second half of this show.
I chose not to drink during the first segment, so you wouldn't fire me before the second segment. Is that all right?
Well, I usually am drunk before the first segment starts.
We know. I'm the editor.
I slur like a drunken sailor at that point.
What are we talking about today, Rob?
Nick, let's talk about the four shows that have been nominated for the Emmys. All four of them.
Pandemic Emmys. I love it. Let's do this.
Another season of the Emmys. I mean, what do we do other than stay at home and procreate? We watch television.
A lot of TV. And ironically, like, the weird thing about COVID is that you are shutting down production of a lot of shows. So they're really going to, like, more documentaries, things they can do that are isolated. And you didn't get as much as maybe you wanted. It's a weird thing. Nobody gives a shit about the Tiger King anymore, right? But that was huge for like 5 seconds, right when you were locked in your house for 2 months or whatever. You couldn't buy toilet paper.
That Carol fucking Baskins did it.
Carol Baskins. But I will say, Rob, there are some shows that I'm willing to go to the mattress for, and I would like to talk about it. The Emmys are airing in September. The nominations just came out. Let's do some predictions. Let's cover this stuff. Rob Stradamus, here we go. Let's do this.
I'm going to predict the winners.
Okay.
Let's hope that my batting average is as perfect as my wiffle ball batting average in this.
Knuckle curve, man.
All right. I'm going to predict the shows. You want me to start with drama and work our way backwards
to
comedy?
Yes, let's get emotional and then we'll have a laugh.
I don't really think this show is a drama. I think it's about dark comedy myself.
Yeah.
And I'm going with Amazon TV's The Boys to take the best drama.
Yeah, I find it weird also that it's considered a drama. I don't know how I would categorize it. I frequently have this problem more so with the Oscars because I'm more of a movie guy than a TV guy. But how they figure this thing out and what bucket they put these things into really needs to evolve and probably change. You know how much I love The Boys. I actually think it's somewhat tough. I thought just as a one-off, one-year thing, the stuff that Lovecraft Country did was kind of important. It's not The Watchmen, but it was important and I really appreciated a lot of it. And I did like The Mandalorian, and I do think that Jon Favreau does a great job with it. But if gun to my head, I got to choose one, I'm going to go with The Boys, and I'm very much looking forward to season 3 that's coming real soon.
Wow. Moving onward, the actors for best drama. Now, I'm a little bit leery about this because
one of them's on the reboot of Love Boat?
No. It has nothing to do with the reboot. You're looking at The Crown, and you got 14 people from The Crown being nominated.
I got to be honest, I'm glad you brought it up, not me. The Crown, I watched the entire season 1, and I thought it was excellent production value. I watched half of an episode of season 2 and I said I was out. You know what I'm done with? Fucking British royalty. I've seen enough.
Yeah. Get the Brits off my television. Is that what you're saying?
So many British people, right? I'm like Kevin Kline.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
So, lead actor, drama. I'm going with the obvious choice.
John Page. It's a handsome
Sterling
guy.
Sterling K. Brown.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'll allow it.
Drink up, America.
Yeah, Sterling K. Brown is great on This Is Us. That was another show I only watched the first season, and they sort of teased the father, how he passes away and all that. And I said, you know what? There's so much emotion in the real world. I'm good. I'm going to check out. It is a wonderfully crafted show. The writing is very good, and I do appreciate that it exists. I actually am going to go off the map here a little bit. I thought Perry Mason, the reboot, was incredible. Matthew Rhys from The Americans was very good on that show, and I thought he's deserved of that. The evolution of his character from basically just like a runner for a private eye and a lawyer to what he becomes, which is a lawyer and the guy that we all watched for years and years, Raymond Burr, right, on TV.
Yep.
But I would do shouts to Jonathan Majors, who again in Lovecraft Country had to carry a lot of the weight of that show and did a great job. He recently showed up in the Loki show on Disney, and he's very good in a limited role there.
Everybody's just going to show up on everybody's show. It's like music.
Marvel is like We Are the World now. Just like Bob Dylan shows up, sings a couple lines, and there you go.
Exactly.
You know, everybody gets $1 million, no matter what they do. 5 minutes, an hour, it doesn't matter.
I'm waiting for them to dig up Bill Bixby and bring him on there.
Oh, Jesus. Too soon.
Hulk sad.
The Incredible Hulk. Lou Ferrigno said, look, back in his day, that's just real muscle, baby. You know, no CGI there.
Exactly.
It looks good.
The angles that they had to film him at made him look bigger. That was the whole trick of
that. He's 4'3". Everybody does it.
Actress in a drama. I'm going with The Handmaid's Tales. Elizabeth Moss.
I'm just trying to do my job.
Yeah. I'm never going to vote against Elizabeth Moss. And here you'll see Olivia Colman for The Crown. I haven't watched it, but I'm sure she's amazing because she's amazing in everything she does. But I'm going to go with Journey Smollett. she is beautiful, and she really does a great job in Lovecraft Country. And again, that's not an easy part to pull off. So I'm going to stay there. It's HBO, you know? I'm loyal.
Okay. You know, a lot of people don't want to pay for television, but, you know.
Yeah, I understand. Fire Stick, just steal it.
Speaking of not paying for television, my best supporting actor had a limited role in this show, but was so memorable. It was John Lithgow and Perry Mason.
I thought you were going to go with Giancarlo because you just couldn't help yourself, no?
No, no. Well, that's The Mandalorian, correct, that he's nominated
correct.
For?
Yep, yep. Mandalorian.
It's not for Better Call Saul, so.
Yeah. Listen, I think Lithgow does a great, great job in Perry Mason, and he's my pick also. But I will say, for the record, just loyalty-wise, the greatest TV show of all time is The West Wing. Bradley Whitford can do no wrong. I didn't see any of his episodes on Handmaid's Tale because that show is just way too intense for me. But if he gets the award, I'm not complaining either.
All right, so.
Life's hard enough.
The next up is a supporting actress in a drama. And I know you didn't want to hear about the Brits.
Yeah.
But I will never, ever go against Agent Skelly. I'm going with Gillian Anderson.
I'm with you. First of all, the hottest Margaret Thatcher I've ever seen in my life. So shouts there. I did see some of the clips, even though I didn't watch any of the episodes. And she can have it. She can have all the awards. I'm fine with it. I'll allow it. I'll allow it.
She just needs to show up in every show as Hot Skelly.
Yeah. Look at all the memes. Have you seen the memes, Rob? There's like a million Hot Skelly memes. It's disturbing. but I will do shouts to Ann Dowd, who was great on an HBO show, The Leftovers. And in season one that I did watch, The Handmaid's Tale, she's incredible. If she wins, obviously I'm not mad about that either.
I'm going to move on to best comedy show.
This is close to my heart. Please, please don't let me down.
Okay. There was a lot of comedies in this category. I think
some
the
good
list
ones,
went on,
right?
On.
You love The Flight Attendant. I know that. There's this a pretty stacked category for a COVID type year.
Yeah, I liked The Flight Attendant. However, there's no reason I would pick that show because it was on HBO Max, so it's a limited audience,
like a limited series. I agree. Yeah,
right. So mine is going to be. It begins with a T.
Yes,
it's Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso, let's do it. Fuck soccer. Here we go, baby. And you know what's overrated? T. That tastes awful. Yep, that's just still awful. Thank you.
Funny, funny show. Season 2, I believe, is out or coming out?
Coming. This weekend. This very weekend. By the time you folks listen to the pod, it's out. Check it out on Apple TV.
So, moving forward with that being the best comedy that I'm picking for the Emmy.
Yep, I'm not going to go against you. I choose Ted Lasso also. Sneaky emotional shouts.
I'm going with Jason Sudeikis as the best lead actor as well in a comedy series.
I'm not fighting you on that. Honestly, like, when you think about some of the other guys in the category, I have heard great things about Kenan Thompson's show on SNL, and I really, really like him. I do like Anthony Anderson on Blackish. I have heard good things about the Comiskey Method. I have never made the time to watch it, and I've never really been a fan of Shameless. I did watch the first couple seasons and kind of walked away from it, but I do love William H. Macy. So it's a loaded category, but listen, that is not an easy premise. That was a TV commercial that the gentleman from Scrubs, Bill Lawrence, turned into an excellent show on Apple TV, probably the only legit good thing on Apple TV, at least in my opinion. And he's got to do all the heavy lifting on it, and he is just so goddamn likable, you know? Just gosh darn so likable, Rob. He deserves the award.
Moving forward, with best supporting actor, I'm going with another person because there's not much choices in this for best supporting actor.
Yeah, this category is weak.
From the Ted Lasso show, I'm going with Nick Mohammed as the best supporting actor.
He's lovable too. I love him. The water boy, basically, who becomes a coach because he, you know, likes to draw on the dry erase board.
Yes. I mean, just a great show, well written, like you said, well directed.
Yeah.
The best thing on Apple TV. And I'm almost going for a sweep with the show.
Yeah. I actually think this, you might be on track. This might just be the story of the Emmys this year. I kind of hope it is. I feel the momentum because the season 2 premiere kind of goes in line with it. It feels like this could happen.
It could. However, I'm going to hit the brakes and pump them a little bit for the best lead actress in a comedy series. And I'm going with my girl, Kaylee Cuoco, in The Flight Attendant.
That's interesting. I haven't not seen the show. It's still on my list. I will get to it. I don't know what I think about it. A lot of these I haven't seen, but I will say Hacks is something that multiple people have stopped me in my tracks and said, Nick, you have to watch this show. And I watch Mare of Easttown, and Jean Smart is on that show, and I love her always. So I wouldn't be shocked if she wins. I feel like she has some momentum here, but I need to get to Hacks to verify that. So I'm not going to fight you on that. By the way, shouts Allison Janney. Anything she does is gold.
Yes. Moving back through to the Ted Lasso crew, the best supporting actress, the one, the only, Juno Temple is my
she's lovely
pick yeah. for best supporting actress.
Yeah, she's lovely. The only argument I would have on that is I love Kate McKinnon on Saturday Night Live.
Now, there's lots of stuff that came out that was just basically six shows, maybe eight shows tops, limited series.
Yes, I want to cover some of these. I think in this day and age, these are important. We talk all the time, and we recently did the recast reboot of The Love Boat. What is our show? Is our show a limited series? Is it a regular series? I don't think the Emmys have really clarified what's what, but I am getting more joy in my life, certainly during COVID, of the limited stuff than I am for these long 30 episode per season shows.
Well, to me, the award shows have become the little league of entertainment with everybody gets an award, pretty much. It's a participation award for everybody.
You get an award. You get an award. Look under your seats, people.
Everybody gets an award.
But we're all home. It's my couch. This is a Zoom.
For my pick for the best limited series show, it's about chess, and it's called The Queen's Gambit.
Really? That's your choice? That does not seem like an Uncle Bookie show. Sell me on that show, because only one other person said I would like it.
You would like it, and I'm the second person to say that, so that's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
I will not tell you or divulge what it is, because it's about chess, damn it.
Okay, all right, so there's moving parts. You got to think ahead a little bit. All right.
It's a very well-structured show, that's all I'm going to say. It takes the person that is the star of the show from her youth to the chess tournament. So it's not boring. It's actually...
I'm a chess fan. You know that, Rob. I'm not the greatest player, but I've always liked it. And I love very underrated film Searching for Bobby Fischer, which I have always liked. Whenever there's a Bobby Fischer documentary, I always tend to watch it. They come out once every 10 years or so. Now, I'll fight you on that because now I haven't seen a lot of these. And certainly WandaVision was not something super spectacular for me. Check out TalkingFlick.com for that talk. But I was surprised that Winter Soldier, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, wasn't nominated here because I thought that was better. Mare of Easttown. We've said it before. I said it on recommendations. That's a great show. Amazingly executed by HBO. I hope it wins. I'll be rooting for it to win. But if Queen's Gambit wins, I guess I'll be okay with that too.
Those are the two. I was going back and forth between those two shows. And because I watched The Queen's Gambit, it's the one I went with.
Yeah, makes sense.
Now, you have a category near and dear to your heart that you want to talk about.
Yes.
So let's move into that.
I didn't want to gloss over it because I think it's important. Every year for the Oscars, I care so much about the documentary category. And My Octopus Teacher, I thought, was just an amazing documentary. I'll give it another shout here. But on television, we've talked about it on the pod many times. They're just doing so much good documentary work. There's some bad stuff in there because there's a lot more maybe than there should be. But there's also so many good ones. And this year, three of them that I really care about. The Social Dilemma, about how Facebook is eating our children. The Bee Gees, How Can You Mend a Broken Heart, which was incredible. And Tina, which we talked about, you recommended. I watched it and thought was also amazing. Any one of those wins, I'm happy. But I'm rooting for the Bee Gees, How Can You Mend a Broken Heart, for the simple reason that I've seen it like five friggin' times already, and all my coworkers at my regular job yell at me daily because I listen to way too much Bee Gees now.
I'd get a little annoyed at you for listening to way too much Bee Gees because, you see, what they don't...
You should be dancing, Rob.
Right. What Nick is not telling you, listeners of E2W, is that while he's playing this music, he's dancing like he thinks he's John Travolta.
It's dramatic. I got a stand-up desk. Cans. I mean, you can't box me in.
And instead of two paint cans, he's got two mail carrier boxes in his hands trying to strut.
So, I unbutton like three buttons too. Fuck it.
Yeah. I'm gonna say Robert Hayes is...
You've seen both of these, Rob. The Bee Gees, How Can You Mend a Broken Heart, or Tina, if you had to choose one.
Wow. This is my theory on this. Love Tina Turner. I saw her in concert. I saw her during one of her final concerts at the Boston Garden, and she was performing with some of the best musicians in the world, and those were her guys for a long time. And there's been so much stuff about Tina Turner that this documentary took a little bit too long for it to be made because she's been retired for a while now. It should have come out a couple of years ago, in my opinion.
You don't think she had anything to do with that, Rob?
I don't. No. I just think that they were just trying to put together... There's so much stuff that she has out there that they're trying to put together in this documentary that I think there might be a second part to it coming up that we don't know about yet with all the stuff that they had left on the cutting room floor. So,
you know, I always complain, like, look, if you want to make a six-hour documentary about Tina Turner, I'm sitting there for 6 hours. I do have a tendency to believe all of these are a little bit too short.
Yeah, and I also think the Bee Gees could have been a little bit longer, and there's so much stuff that they did not, you know, embellish on in the documentary. However, I will be going with the Bee Gees for this pick as winning the best doc.
All right. I I love, you know what the best, I've said it before. I think I said it on this pod already, so I'm guilty, America. Go ahead and tweet us.
That is Nick and Rob E2W at Nick and Rob E2W. I'll say Twitter. It twice because Nick can't.
But I'll say it one more time. Nights on Broadway. The fucking story, how they deconstruct Nights on Broadway, that song, and how that leads to the entire Saturday Night Fever album. It's legendary. I could watch that part every day.
And you know what? It's a great skit also on SNL.
Oh, it's amazing, yeah. The Gibbs.
Francis with Barry Gribb, I grew up on the main streets. I said, mate.
So good. Legendary. Let me sneak one more in here, Rob, before we go. Outstanding supporting actor in a limited series or a movie. It's all the Hamilton guys and my buddy Evan Peters from Mayor of Easttown. And then I think Thomas Brody Sangster from Queen's Gambit. I don't know if you know that part. I don't know if he was a scene stealer or what. But Evan Peters, Mayor of Easttown. I love that part, but you got to give it to one of those Hamilton guys. And if you're asking me to choose one of them, it's Jonathan Groff as King George, because when he comes on, it's just fucking gold.
Yeah, just don't get too close to him when he's singing.
No, a lot of spit, a lot of projectile. Yeah,
you'll go
wet. Hey, I loved it. I was into it, man.
Great thing to watch on television during the pandemic was
definition of a scene steal right there.
That's the one you put on, you get on your big screen TV, and you turn on your surround sound, and then add a few more speakers to it, and just sit back, watch, and listen. I have another one. Before we move on, reality shows, okay? I know you're thinking reality shows is, you know, the Jersey Shore and shit like that. However,
all the stuff my wife watches?
Contestant shows are also known as reality shows, i.e., yes. The Amazing Race.
The contestants are all the 90-day fiancés that never work out, right? How does this work?
No.
The people below deck? Who are the contestants?
No. See, you have to look at those categories and how they're worded for those shows. This is a competition series, and the best hosts and the best show I'm going with, both of them, Top Chef, and the hosts are being Padma, Tom, and Gail, the host of this. No, it's Padma Lakshmi, Tom Gail Cookie, Simmons, and Gail Simmons.
I have, of all those shows, you know I don't watch a lot of these competition shows. I was surprised. I thought you would pick The Voice, to be honest with you. So shouts to you. Good job by you. Top Chef is the one that I can tolerate. I don't watch a lot of it, but that's a good show. And I appreciate that show.
I prefer the cooking shows like that. I love competition cooking shows. I love to cook myself. I see myself being on one of these shows.
Blazing Barrel Barbecue.
Well, I wouldn't go in there as barbecue. I do have some refined talents that
I
want to
show off. Are you Italian? Can you make Italian food? I forget.
You're Greek. I'm Italian. I make Thai food.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Actually, I used to watch Shark Tank, and just a quick tangent on that one. I enjoyed Shark Tank when it first came out, but now I don't like that show. I think I'm done with it.
I still watch it because I only watch it for the products that people try to show.
That's the thing. I like the ideas, but I don't like the judges and how they break it down and they fight with each other. I'm kind of over that part.
Well, that's where you get it wrong. They're not judges. They're investors. So
yeah, all right.
Just think of it as that. They're going to spend their money on some, you know, thing that's going to help you clean your butt in a toilet, you know, from 2 feet away.
I do like a clean butt.
Shark Tank. I do like a clean butt. We're going to take a break now, and we're going to go to our sponsors. But before we do, we're going to give you our email address, because we want you, the listeners, to tell us what you want to hear us talk about. We want you to email us or tweet us. The email is easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com.
easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com.
Or you can send us a tweet on Twitter at @nickandrobe2w.
Tweeter.
And you know what? We have a survey that is on our website.
What? Have we got mad?
We got mad. I actually put a little survey on there. I want to know who's listening. Go to the website, www.nickandrobe2w.com. Right on the homepage is a survey. Take it. We want to hear from you.
If you appreciate us, if you want more episodes, if you don't want us to be bi-weekly or taking long 3-4 week breaks all the time, the best way to tell us you want more of us is to rate and review us. If you're talking Flick fans, if you're going to rate us, iTunes is the best way, and we appreciate every one of those.
Yes, we do. And for that, we're going to go and have a word from our sponsor,
Anchor.
I am the world's last farm and poet.
All right.
Give us a kiss, you sexy beast.
Go for it.
I see America drinking the fabulous cocktails I make. America's getting stinking on something I stir or shake. The sex on the beach.
Yeah.
The schnapps made from peach. The velvet hammer. The Alabama slammer.
Yeah.
I make things with juice and froth. The pink squirrel. The three-toed sloth.
Everyone.
I make drinks so sweet and snazzy. The iced tea. The kamikaze.
Oh,
the orgasm.
Oh, hands up the merchandise.
The death spasm. The Singapore sling, the ding-a-ling.
Ding-a-ling?
America, you're just devoted to every flavor I've got. But if you want to get loaded, why don't you just order a shot?
And we are back.
Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. What are we talking about next, Rob?
Well, let's talk about some sport.
We're popping some bubbles. Bubbles are popped.
Bubbles, bubbles.
All right,
bubbles.
We opened the champagne. We left it on the table. It's a little flat now. The bubbles are popped. Here we go. Let's do this.
Oh, ginger ale, ginger pop, ginger beer, beer bubbles, bubble aid, bubble cola, double bubble burpa-cola, and all the crazy carbonated stuff that tickles your nose.
All right. Okay, Uncle Bookie, I know you were super stoked for the NBA Finals. On the last episode, we mistakenly said Chris Paul's going to walk away with this thing, and then all of a sudden Giannis looks 100% healthy, and the Bucks just steamroll 4-2, beat the Suns, win their first title in, what, 49 years? And Giannis has a signature game in Game 6 with 50 points. I was impressed. I watched the last two games. You know, not a super team wins the NBA Finals, so I appreciate that. Some bit players like friggin' Kaminsky and Portis Jr. and some of these weird players had big roles in a big deciding game, but I was impressed by Giannis. Great defense, made his free throws, scored a bunch of points, led the team, emotion, great smile. I get a little bit of Ohtani vibes from Giannis. Is Giannis the best player in the NBA? What does this mean for the Bucks, and do you care, sir?
Okay.
People love when I ask the long, complicated questions.
He can't be Ohtani because he's not Japanese.
Okay.
So let's stop it
there.
He's
Greek. You're Italian. Yes.
That's right. There's three things I learned about the NBA Finals. There is still a team in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I wasn't aware either until the finals.
To celebrate properly, you must buy 50 Chick-fil-A sandwiches. And instead of going to Disney World, you go to the Acropolis.
The Acropolis, yeah. You're live, baby, at the Acropolis. It was crazy to see Yanni storm the court. That was weird.
It was. I mean, that mustache, though, was like flowing. Like, you would not believe.
I was mad that Chris Paul didn't wait around to shake his hand. What a jerk, man.
We've seen someone take off of a field or whatever before without shaking hands, so we won't go there.
I want to ask the question, though. I do think it matters. I'm not going to pick on him too much. I know he's emotionally hurt. He's 36, I think, and maybe this is his best last chance. I don't know. But what does it do to his legacy? I have him below Isaiah Thomas, probably above like Steve Nash, just barely. Do you think it matters? It matters he made the finals just because he didn't win. Maybe he never gets a win. How much do you think that matters?
Like I've said before, not everybody's going to win it all.
Yeah, Barkley.
They have their own players' legacy, their own personal legacies.
Teddy ball
just
game?
Go with that. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I get it too. I'm with you on that. Stephen A. Smith doesn't have to fucking, you know, I know they got to fill content for hours and hours on ESPN, but it's not the biggest topic. He made the finals with a team that was very young. Huge credit to Chris Paul. That was a vintage season from him, but he didn't win. It's fine.
This is Sparta!
All right, moving on to baseball. I did want to bring up a couple things here, Rob, and we are going to talk a little football today. I know you're super excited about that. The Red Sox dominating the Yankees still. Some comeback wins that really matter. At time of recording, we're losing today, but still Eovaldi looks great. Trade deadline. We talked about it briefly with Anthony Rizzo. You know, I didn't really support that deal, but now we're starting to hear rumors about Cole Hamels. We're starting to hear a little bit of kicking the tires on Max Scherzer. What are you hearing locally, and how important do you think it is for us to make a deal?
I am not hearing any of that locally, honestly.
Tanner Houck. It's all Tanner Houck.
It is. He's the future, man. He looks is fucking the future.
Great. Feisty, probably only weighs 140 pounds soaking wet. Great fucking sleeve tattoo.
Yeah, I think the tattoo is way more than him total.
Free drinks at Summer Shack whenever he walks in there.
Exactly. That's, you know, are they going to get a pitcher? Maybe.
That's what they need. You know that's what I think.
They don't need anybody with a bat. It's not going to help them. It's just an extra bat.
Yeah, we have Duran that came up. We're rotating in. Chavez finally hit a home run. Maybe he's going to get hot. Dahlbeck is fine. Everything seems fine. I like where we're at. The only thing that happened was Christian Arroyo got hurt. And he's a great bench guy. But you know what? Kiki fucking Hernandez, now that he's getting actual, like, consistent at-bats, is crushing. So, yeah, we don't need offense.
And an interesting stat. The Red Sox this entire season have only used 6 starting pitchers.
You text me that, and I looked it up just to double-check. It's fascinating that we have had luck with health, right? The rub there is that some starters, like I would argue E-Rod, a little bit hittable. Martin Perez, you know he's not my favorite. Maybe we've survived that. And I don't expect expect that to go for the rest of the season. We are 30-19 at home, 30-19 away. I still would feel more comfortable if we went out and got somebody. Now, obviously, I would prefer Max Scherzer to Cole Hamels, but I would settle for somebody else. I like Phillips Valdez in the bullpen, which means Darwinson Hernandez could start. I just don't know why they don't want him to, but I'd like to see them give him a shot too.
Scherzer is looking for a long-term deal, and he's willing to give up his no-trade clause to get it.
So he's 37, I think, or 36. How many years would you give him?
I would only say tops 4.
Me too. $80 million, 4 years, something like that. I don't know if I love that, to be honest, but I'd do it if we get another World Series out of it. If you get one World Series, worth it. Nobody complains.
A crazy blue-eyed, brown-eyed guy.
Man, you look him in the eye. It's fucking weird, man. The camera always gives him a couple seconds. The All-Star game, he was there, and they always zoom in on that weird multicolored eye thing.
I've realized lately, too, that a lot of the pitches that we grew up liking throughout the league are getting much, much older.
Yes, they
are. And the new crop of pitches coming up, not as recognizable as I think they want them to be.
Not yet, so, but we know that MLB is failing its young talent. We've already said that.
Right. Verlander is coming towards the end of his career. Scherzer, yep. Obviously. Sale, obviously, is coming towards the end of his career.
I think he's going to have a few more years. I'm not walking away from Sale yet.
I'm talking about 3-4 years.
Yeah, 3-4. That's about right.
You know, and a lot of guys are just not getting the exposure coming up, the younger guys. So
I hate that they're not putting him out there. You know, I like Casey Mize. There's a bunch of young talent out there. Torkelson is one. Listen, Derek Jeter is Miami Marlins. It sounds weird when I say it out loud, but they have a lot of young talent. Zach Thompson is one guy. There's a bunch of guys over there that I really, really like, and they're not getting enough love there. Lopez is another one. But to your point of bringing up Verlander is this idea that we have Alex Cora back. You know, I take back all the bad things I said about him with the banging the trash cans or whatever. I love having him back. He is a great manager. He manages the bullpen very well. Shouts there. But the Astros are going to get Verlander back. Now, we're going to get Sale back. But if there's a team in the American League that scares me, it ain't the fucking Yankees, it's the Astros. And I feel like if we could just get one more starter, just to give us a little push, I'd feel a little bit more comfortable going into the playoffs.
It's almost like they need to start looking for like the hidden gems out there. The guys that aren't getting the super duper exposure, but who pitch solid games and give you solid innings.
Well, your buddy, Rich Hill, I was surprised to see that move. He goes from Minnesota, who's out of it, shockingly, we thought they'd be better, to Tampa. And I thought that's a bring him back to Boston. That would have been a nice move. Give us some depth.
Dick Mountain is in New York.
Look, that's a great ballpark for him, so shouts to him.
Yeah, you know, kind of personal ties to him, but we'll just leave it at that. he's gone to the Mets. Only thing I can wish for is that it's New York, Boston, part two, with not a repeat of what happened in 86.
That would be amazing. I would love that World Series. And again, baseball, please wake up, do something. This is a vintage season. This is a beautiful Northern California Cabernet, perfectly aged, with all these tannins, all these beautiful, great young players, and you are not letting people taste the goods. Come on. I want to see Ohtani on the side of fucking buses. Make it happen.
By the way, shouts out to my boy, home run king, Pete Alonso.
Fucking guy has the perfect swing for home run derby. I don't know if he's the greatest first baseman alive. I don't know how great he is for the Mets, but fuck, man, he's built for home run derby.
He is the man, and I like that he was just bouncing around, listening to the tunes in his head, you know, gives to a me, good interview.
Yeah, he gets into it. Yeah, the polar bear, right? He's having a great time. These guys are having fun. Ohtani's handing the bat to the bat boy, and Pete Alonso is bouncing around, dancing the jig or whatever. So this is stuff that they should be capitalizing on. Trey Mancini is an incredible story. Fernando Tatis, Vladdy Jr., we've said it a million times, but come on, man. Where are these guys on SNL, on late night TV, on Good Morning America? Like, make it happen. They're failing these guys. It's not a regional sport. I don't care what anybody says. It's still the best game in the United States to me, and I will push for it every day, and I hope we get a new commissioner sooner than later.
Nobody cares about baseball until the playoffs begin.
Just a bit outside.
And speaking of that, Rob, I will transition smoothly into football, where we have our first significant injury of the 2021 season. I would have argued a top 15 running back. A lot of people say he's top 10. I'm not so sure about that. But Cam Akers is lost to the LA Rams. That also sounds weird for the season. The Rams with Matt Stafford, too. So I would have picked them to, I at least was kicking the tires on picking them to make a Super Bowl, because I think that team with Matt Stafford should be better. That's a huge loss. What do you think the impact is long term?
Jeez, it's going to depend on what they can do. They're going to have to hit the free agent market and pick up another running back.
I was going to say, like, do you think they go with like a Daryl Henderson internally, or do they come to the Patriots and say, give me Sony Michel, because you can have him?
I would say, yeah, let's trade him. Let's trade Sony Michel to the...
For Matt Stafford.
The Rams. No, I would not want him.
All right, all right. Yeah, he's a little weird. His wife is a lovely weird. Woman. Not crazy at all, tweeter.
But that's what I would do. More important things going on, though, Nick, in football.
All right, what else you got?
The ring ceremony, man. The
40%
Tampa Bay
believers, the golden child, the greatest of all time, Tom Brady. What do you got?
I know what you mean by that. I know what you mean. Brady obviously got his 7th ring.
Yeah, I
the
heard.
Bucks got their blinged out
rings. Was it with the Patriots? I forget.
it might as well have been. It almost is like he's got the whole staff down there. But
the floor is lava with Rob Gronkowski. I saw.
Yeah, exactly. Brady's got his 7th ring.
Greatest of all
you
time.
You have to thank Kraft, Robert Kraft.
I've heard of him.
For getting these football teams to
not for massages.
Pony up the money, put out these outrageously blinged out fucking Super Bowl rings.
They are insane and only getting more insane, which I find to be weird. I hope the NFL health insurance plan gets better and the rings maybe get a little smaller.
Yeah. I mean, when you want to compare rings.
Not even a ring. It's more like, I don't even know what you call it now. It's like an heirloom now because you can't wear it, really.
Yeah, it's like if you could get it around your waist, you could wear it as a championship belt.
It's basically a WWE title belt now.
Right. I think they should just give them all title belts.
Yeah, I kind of like that. Hot take, Uncle Bookie. I sort of like it. Come on, Goodell. Do something good. I'll say something nice about you for once.
Yeah, we will, but not now.
So,
want to compare the rings as far as what they looked like back in the day and what they look like now, look at like the, I hate to bring this up, the Chicago Bears Super Bowl championship.
The Bears.
The Bears.
And then look at the first year the Patriots won the Super Bowl ring and just look at the difference. The Bears ring looks like a high school
graduation
ring, and the Patriots looks like a pimp ring.
Yeah, right. I don't really know what I make of it, and obviously I have no say in any of it, but I find like I was a military guy and I got a ring at the end of that, and it was pretty calm, you know what I mean? I could wear it. It's kind of chunky, but I could wear it. The NFL Super Bowl rings are like just ridiculous. You can't put them on your hands. It's really, really silly. I don't know who they're competing against, because baseball and other players, they don't do it like this. Nobody is more ridiculous than the NFL with this. So I think the money is probably better spent elsewhere.
Yeah. However, on a side note regarding Mr. Brady.
Let's go!
All of his collectibles have skyrocketed again because of ring number 7.
Stock up, Tom Brady.
Stock up.
Stock up. If you're rich like a Kardashian, blow your wads on all the Tom Brady shit you can find.
When I need Tom Brady cards, Uncle Bookie takes care of me. Shouts, my friend.
Yeah.
If I go to the comic book store or the card collection store and try to buy a box of cards, it's ridiculous. So I'll take what I can get.
Remember how you used to say that Whole Foods was whole checks?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Well, now one pack of baseball cards for a kid is his whole summer's allowance.
Yeah, I have to fight an 11-year-old and a security guard if I want one pack of cards at Target. Yeah, it's not great right now.
Exactly. Well, they don't sell them there anymore. They took them off the shelves completely.
Because America's crazy.
The world has gone insane.
We've all gone mad.
We have all gone mad.
Let's close the pop bubbles. What do we got for the food segment today, Rob? Because I'm very excited about the food segment, sir.
Get your act together!
Come on, man. I've got 4 people waiting for me. I'm on the way back with 3 drinks.
I know, it's coming.
With a twist, absolute on the rocks, guilty and tonic, and a velvet hammer.
So what I order?
You know what's funny is even Monday and Tuesday goes, what the fuck? We've made a drink called the old Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. I got it right here. I'm taking my very first sip. Let's see what we do.
And?
I like it. It's actually Long Island Iced Tea vibes, first instinct. Arnold Palmer vibes, second instinct. Stronger than I thought when you first sent me the text of this one. Boy, it's summery too. Very refreshing. So explain the drink to us, Rob. How do you make it?
All right. It's 1.5 ounces of your favorite whiskey. So whatever whiskey
$17.92 for me today, but I'll try it different ways.
I went with the Classic Jack.
Oh, Jack. Very American. Good for you.
Okay. And then it's 1/2 ounce of limoncello. So,
which I had never had before. I had seen it around, but I had never had it before. It's not as foo-foo as I might have thought it would be.
I used to be offered shots of that.
Yeah, it's a shake. You shake it, strain it, and give it as a shot, right? That's pretty much how I know it. Yeah.
I used to be offered shots of that at a karaoke show that I used to do at a fancy restaurant when the owners would make me want to sing Just a Gigolo and not the David Lee Roth version, the original version.
Holy shit. Where are the tapes?
The Louis Prima versions of Just a Gigolo. and then I would get shots, limoncello shots from the owners of the establishment. So you get that, and then you got a half an ounce of actual fresh squeezed lemon juice in this drink.
Which I appreciate. I can taste it, and it's lovely.
There's some mint in the drink. You want to put that in there. You want to stir this up a little bit, and then you want to add 3 ounces of your favorite iced tea. It could be unsweetened. It could be dark tea. It could be green tea, whatever. As long as it's an iced tea, if you want a little sweeter, obviously go with a sweeter tea. I went with an unsweetened in this.
Me too. So. Unsweetened black iced tea from Starbucks is actually what I used in this one, but I've got a couple different versions downstairs, and I'll try it a few different ways.
I went with Pure Leaf tea on this.
Yeah, that's a solid tea, yep.
And then you top with your ice and give it a stir again and let all the mint leaves float up to the top.
Which they do. Lovely.
And then you just sit back, kick your feet up, put on some tunes, and enjoy.
As usual, I am educated by Uncle Bookie. I didn't want to do the Love Boat on the last episode, and it turned out great. I had a lot of fun doing that. And I wasn't intrigued by this cocktail when you first sent it to me, but it is very summery. It's very hot in Vegas, and I appreciate this drink. And I will be, since I have all the ingredients now, I'll be having 3 or 4 of these. And I'm sure I'll be
six sheets to the wind,
throwing the Super Bowl trophy around.
You'll be like Uncle Bookie the last 5 straight episodes.
Yeah, I'll make you edit this one. All right, so speaking of that, we love the Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. Look that up. Shouts.
What I will do, Nick, is I will put the actual recipe on the website. So enjoy it. It's on our website, and that's
www.nickandrobe2w.com. www.nickandrobe2w.com.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think there's a survey on there for our listeners.
Yes, there is a survey.
And I would also like our listeners to come up with tasty drinks of their own. That sounds like a good idea.
Absolutely. You can email us, right, Rob? Where do they email us at?
They can email us at easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com.
easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com.
And you can tweet us also at nickandrobe2w.
Tweeter.
And also, we want you guys to review us.
For those that stop me on the street and say, Nick, I want more episodes of E2W. I want more frequent episodes. They stop me on the street and say, Nick, I want this on the food segment. How come you're not doing hand pies? Nick, I want you to reboot The Godfather Part 3 for some crazy reason. The best way for us to feel your love and give you more content is to go to especially iTunes and rate and review us. So please take the few minutes that it takes for the show. It's good for the show. It's good for the website. We really appreciate it.
It's good for the environment as well.
Absolutely.
Virtually look for us, review us, rate us, and all that other good stuff.
I know we don't have a ton of time, Rob, but how about a couple other shouts on cocktails that are your go-to cocktails? We've covered this a little bit on the pod before, but just give me a couple of yours.
Okay. I like a lot of stuff. Vodka drinks, a couple of those. I like a Moscow Mule every now and then.
Absolutely. Got to have the right cup.
And every so often, a couple of times a year, in honor of a certain person, I have a White Russian.
Oh, yes. Shouts. Kayla Alpha 1, Papa Kila India.
And then I have a couple of pecans.
The only good Russian, Rob? Life is not the same without him. I'll tell you that.
No, it's not. Now, some other drinks that I like to have is I love bourbon. Bourbon. In my belly, I love bourbon.
I'm a Scotch guy. You're a bourbon guy. It's just the subtle differences.
Yeah. Yours tastes like a tree and mine tastes like heaven.
That is correct. Yep. Splash of water, a little bit of rock should be just fine.
I like a bourbon smash, which is almost similar to the drink we're having today, except there's no limoncello in it. It's got simple syrup, a little bourbon, some mint in it, and it's just a well-balanced drink. And the simple syrup is the topper of this. You have to have the right ratio of simple syrup in it. And then another mule drink I like to have is the Kentucky Mule, which is a bourbon version of the Moscow Mule. And you have to have it in those copper cups, people. You can't just have it in a glass. It's got to be in the copper cup. And another cool drink to have, especially this time of the year in the hot summer months, is a Sazerac. Have you ever had a Sazerac?
I don't think so.
Okay. It's either going to be whiskey or bourbon, depending on...
It's a simple syrup one, right? I feel like I've bitters, made it, but I don't think I ever tried it.
A little bit of bitters, Angostura bitters, a little bit of lemon juice.
It's an absinthe, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And it's a herbal liqueur, so a more herbally whiskey...
Floral.
Yeah.
Is it layered, Rob? I don't quite remember that one.
It's a stirred drink.
Stirred. Okay, gotcha.
Layered would be like a zombie. We don't want to drink a zombie. That would knock you on your ass.
Yeah, yeah, I've had that for sure. Absinthe, I'm not the biggest fan of, and it's sneaky. It sneaky drops you.
Absinthe then is nothing compared to absinthe now.
That is correct, yep.
Not as much of a kick. Same thing with moonshine. I mean, you can buy moonshine in liquor stores now.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, if moonshine's not made in a toilet, you know, it's not moonshine.
Right, if it's not made in a toilet, in a prison. I have a bottle of moonshine that I've had for a while, and it's got whole... peaches inside of it. And it's been sitting and sitting and sitting for
fermenting
a long time.
Like that, yeah.
Yeah, so I guarantee the time that I open that and drink that, I'm going to be Looney Tunes.
Let me give you a couple quick summary ones. And these are not ones I necessarily do all the time. But I like myself a good mimosa. I like myself a good Bellini, which is a champagne. Those are both champagne drinks. There's one that I like that I tried pretty recently. As I get more and more pretentious, I start wafting over to these weird drinks. Pimm's Cup. Pimm's Cup is very popular at Wimbledon. It's very British. I like it because it's got the cucumbers in it and the cucumber garnish, which I really, really appreciate. So that's one I like also. And then, you know, we've talked martinis before. The Vesper is very, very popular. Gin and vodka or vodka only is the only way I go. And an old fashioned. Shouts to my sister Ange. A good old fashioned is perfect. Please, bartender, make it correctly.
Nice bourbon drink, an old fashioned. It should be a staple drink for any bartender in the
entire world. Can use a rye whiskey. I'll do it either way if it's made correctly. Yep.
A Pimm's, huh? For tennis. They drink it for tennis. So does that mean that during pickleball, you're having a PB cup?
See, you said pickleball this time, not me. So shouts to the listeners there. I was trying to get a way to sneak it in there. But yes, Pimm's Cup, very tennis drink, very British drink. It's very, very good. Pimm's number one is a certain type of alcohol. It's got lemonade in it. It's got mint. It's got orange. It's got strawberries. Kind of pick what you want to put in there. But you got to have those cucumbers. And it's really refreshing. And if you eat the cucumber at the end of the drink, it's got a lot of alcohol in there. And it'll knock you on your butt after 3 or 4.
Just open the door and let her pirouette out in the street.
I was just thinking, Nick, that we're talking about alcohol and we're drinking alcohol, but I have not heard many I'll Allow It's today.
Yes. Well, Pimm's Cup and pickleball, I'll allow that, Rob.
You know what, Rob? I'll allow it.
That's a double shot. Something happened today. 17 years ago.
Yes, 17 years ago, one of my favorite sports memories of all time. No, it is not a walk-off home run, although I've seen those in person. No, it is not a no-hitter. No, it is not a perfect game. No, it is not Ohtani just crushing things in the American League. I love all those things, but the thing I love the most in my lifetime watching my recent title-heavy Boston Red Sox is the moment, Rob, when Bronson Arroyo, great musician, by the way, hit my buddy A-Roid, who was not on the Boston Red Sox, but on the New York Yankees. Thank you, Theo Epstein, for not pulling the trigger on that one. And what happens next?
Old A-Rod starts walking up the baseline, and
What does he say?
He says, fuck you fucking pussy, you fucking punk, fuck you.
Could you imagine saying that to Jason Varitek, legend, greatest Boston Red Sox catcher of all time? Oh, I don't want to fight about it.
He wasn't saying that to Varitek. He was saying that to Bronson Arroyo.
Yeah, and Varitek is the protector.
To which Varitek went up to him and said, just get your fucking ass to first base and shut up. Which A-Rod said, fuck you.
Which is, again, another mistake there.
To which Varitek said, eat this and beat the shit out of him.
The best thing about it is, and I remember it very vividly in real time, Varitek is tough guy and classy way, doesn't punch A-Rod, which maybe I would have done. We talked about Nolan Ryan and Robin Ventura, obviously, but he pushes his face, which is fucking amazing. It's the greatest, like, power move of all time. Then the brawl breaks out.
Schilling is right in the middle of it. Now another fight off to the side. Millar is in it. Nixon is in it.
And it's a spark plug that ignites the entire thing. And from this moment on, I have never complained much about the Boston Red Sox since that. I love that moment. It's incredible. It's worthy of an anniversary. And I'm glad it's been all over Twitter today.
It is, without a doubt, the single most important date
important.
In Red Sox history.
It might be.
It turned it all around. History and the Red Sox win.
I agree.
Years ago.
Listen, the cowboy up Red Sox, that weird Red Sox team, is the weirdest mix of guys that I'm not so sure in real time in the moment, because we remember 2003. I thought it was going to be more heartache. It was a weird mix of characters there. And Terry Francona, an unconventional manager, I would say, for the most part there. And I think that this team means so much to me because you needed that to close the background noise of all the weight that Boston, the city, is putting on these guys. Because Boston wants to do nothing but win, and you needed guys who really wouldn't listen or give a fuck about that and just play the game. That's what these guys did. That's why they won. And ever since then, it's not a problem anymore. The curse is over, baby.
The curse is over. Man, lots of stuff. Lots of cool stuff. You know, Let's talk about something that's coming up. What, a fantasy draft special coming up?
Fantasy draft spectacular, Rob. Don't undersell it. I'm going to make you talk fantasy sports, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Listen, I'm sorry I called you a bitch.
Why? I am a bitch.
Well, I'm going to counteract because our fans want to have a draft of their own. So I figure one of your ideas will do the SNL draft.
Oops, I crap. My pants can hold a lot of dung.
We're going to do it. We're green lighting it.
We're going to green light Matty Damon, Ben Affleck have greenlit this for us.
Squib. Brett Kavanaugh.
We're going to do the SNL All Seasons Draft Ultimate Lineups.
I love this. The fans asked for it. I give the fans a lot of credit for this particular one. What I'd like to do, Rob, with your permission, is to put a couple poll questions up over the course of the next month or two so we can get an idea of who should be in what category, top 10, top 20, first round, second round. We'll put some matchups up on the website and we will work toward doing the SNL draft. So if you put up with a little sports, a little bit of fantasy talk, we will give you the SNL draft. That's our promise to you, America.
I think that's a great idea.
Take your dick, put it in a box. Let's do this.
One. Cut a hole in a box.
Two. Put your junk in that box. Any recommendations?
I do have recommendations, Rob. I have a couple for you. I don't always do it, but I like to squeeze them in every once in a while. The Bill Simmons podcast, a great appearance by Matt Damon. Look it up. Bill Simmons podcast on theringer.com. And then I liked it. I started watching the Kiss documentary. I didn't quite finish it yet, but I was sucked into the Hulu documentary, McCartney 321. It's McCartney. It's Rick Rubin. It's very intimate. For some reason, Rick Rubin isn't wearing shoes. That's very distracting, but fine. I'll allow it.
I'll allow it.
He never wears shoes.
It's weird, right? Did some of the greatest Chili Pepper albums. It's just weird because Paul McCartney's dressed up and he's in shorts and no shoes, but fine. It's fine.
It looks like Jesus, too.
In any case, McCartney 321 is just so, so great. They sort of deconstruct some of the greatest Beatles songs and Paul McCartney songs of all time. It's well worth a watch. And what I like about it is that it's 6 episodes. Each episode is about 30 minutes or less. Very easy to digest. So McCartney 321 on Hulu. Check it out.
I got a couple of, they're not really recommendations because they haven't come out yet, but these are shows that are upcoming. So I'm going to give a preview.
Sneak peeks. Here we go.
Sneak peek. Access Channel. To anybody who has the Access Channel, that's AXS.
I never heard of it.
It's a music sports channel.
Really?
Sports in a weird way.
Oh, it sounds like us. Sounds like E2W.
It does. Professional wrestling is on this channel, and lots of great concerts and music, and the Dan Rather documentary show on there.
I love Dan Rather. I miss Dan Rather every day.
He has a great show on there as well. He interviews a lot of musicians.
Great Twitter follow, Dan Rather.
Yes. On the Access channel, a new show is coming out, and this is for all my collector friends out there who listen to the show and seek advice from me, and I also seek advice from you guys. It's called Rock My Collection. This is all about music collectibles. It's a show that's coming out.
Music collectibles. That's
music
interesting.
Collectibles.
I like that. Yeah.
Those rare albums, those rare autographs, whatever. That's coming out on the Access Channel on Sunday, the 15th of August. On the same day, if you are a subscriber to the Stars Network, there is a show coming out starring Steve Amell. And Steve Amell is from Arrow on the WB Network.
I like him. Handsome fellow. I didn't like that show Arrow, but he's good. I like him.
He's a professional wrestler in his spare time a lot, and he's doing a show about professional wrestling. And it's not conventional. It's kind of like based on the families of wrestling back in the day. Like
the Hart Foundation.
The Harts, the Von
Erichs. Yes.
The Jarrett. The
it's
Crockett's.
Amazing how many of those families there actually are, Rob. I'm always fascinated by those documentaries.
The show is called Heels, based on obviously
the
bad characters in wrestling. And it's on Stars Network, and that's starting August 15th as well. Everybody, so don't forget to rate and review us, especially on iTunes. Email us at easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com if you have any comments or questions. You can also tweet us at nickandrobe2w, or you can go to our website at www.nickandrobe2w.com.
We appreciate all the rate and reviews. If you're going to rate us, iTunes, the best way to go.
If you're gonna rate us,
yes.
Rate us on iTunes. Any shouts, Nick?
Always shouts. RealWatchability.com. Top 10 movies of the year. Top 10 movies of all time. TalkingFlick.com. Hit me up at Twitter at RealWatch. Always a pleasure, sir.
WTF, my friend.
WTF. Bottoms up, my friend.
Bottoms up. Everybody, peace.
Peace.
For the Red Sox, yawning.
Alex Rodriguez is drilled, and he says something to Bronson Arroyo. And we know what he said. Here we go. Veritek and A-Rod going at it.
you have a clip of hair from Elvis Presley's
toilet
military haircut.
No, just kidding. Sorry, I couldn't help myself. It's the alcohol.
If you have a clip of hair from Elvis's toilet, yeah.